And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him 2 jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm drawing to a close on a teaching that I've been doing for 4 weeks entitled Redemption. This is actually a 5-part teaching, and it was taken from a Gospel Truth seminar that we did in Ontario, California, just outside of Los Angeles. And I tell you, the things that I taught in this series are just radical. I mean, super radical from what is typically being taught in Christianity today. And I basically just taken all of this teaching from the Word. It's about the forgiveness of our sins. And we've said some things about how all of our sins are forgiven by grace, not based on our performance. And all of our sins, past, present, and even future sins, have been forgiven. A radical concept. Then I started countering the Old Testament law, because the law is what amplified sin, and I started showing that under the New Testament, the payment that Jesus made for our sins was greater than the cost of our sins. So the supply far exceeds the need. And because of that, sin, the dominion of sin over us, has been broken. But to understand this, you've got to understand that we were redeemed from the Old Testament law. And now, today through Friday, I'm going to be contrasting some of the things about the Old Testament law with what tradition is basically thought. You know, I made the point on our program yesterday that the Scripture says you've got to be under one of the two covenants, but not under both at the same time. We aren't under the New Testament dispensation of grace and under the Old Testament dispensation of law at the same time. They are two totally different approaches to God. And I used a bunch of Scriptures that says that the Old Testament law has been disannulled. When you annul something, it's like it never happened. God has removed the Old Testament law. We no longer have to approach God based on our performance to a standard. Now, there's still benefit to living as holy as you can, but not in your relationship with God. The relationship with God has to be based totally upon grace, what God did for us by grace, and all we do is just receive that grace by faith. And if you ever start trying to please God and perform to earn His favor or His blessing or His anointing or whatever it is that you're after, if you ever get into performance based on that, then you have left grace and you're back under law and you'll receive condemnation and guilt, not the thing that you need. Let me just take some passages and illustrate this to you. Today through Friday, I'm going to be showing what the real purpose of the law is and how we should relate to it. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you will remember, this week I talked about how we are redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. There can't be any more literal fulfillment of that verse, Galatians 3:13, about being redeemed from the curse of the law than Deuteronomy chapter 28. In the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28, it lists all of the blessings that come upon you if you will keep the law. And then in verses 15 through 68, it lists all of the curses that will come upon you if you don't keep the law. And for those of you that are very good with math, it won't take you long to figure out that there are more curses than there are blessings. Verses 15 through 68 are the curses. Verses 1 through 14 are the blessings. And so this is the problem with the law. If we could have lived perfectly, well, then all of these blessings that are listed are just wonderful. But if you don't keep it perfectly, then instead of getting the blessing, you get the curse. And there are numerous, many more curses than there are blessings. So let's look at some of these scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." When you are under law, when you're under this old covenant mentality of law, there's always an if. It's like there's this blessing dangling out there in front of you like a carrot on a stick that is dangling out in front of you, something that's motivating you to go after God. But it's all conditional on if you will do this, then you can get this. But in New Testament grace, it's not if, it's already been done. It's already been provided. All of your sins have already been forgiven. When you come to the Lord and ask to receive your salvation, God doesn't forgive you at that moment. He's already forgiven you. The atonement for your sin was made 2,000 years ago. God has already forgiven sins, not only of people who are being born again, but it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, that He is the propitiation. That means the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The sins of the whole world have been paid for. They're already paid for before you ever were born, before you ever committed a sin. Your sins had already been paid for. The blood of Jesus was spilt and sins have been destroyed. Man, that is good news. That is radical news, but that's good. And so somebody says, so you're saying it doesn't matter then whether a person gets born again or not because sin's already taken care of. No, the payment has been made, but now you are going to be accepted or rejected with God, not based on your own acts, because the acts of every person have been atoned for. Now it comes down to not what your individual sins are, but have you made Jesus your personal Savior? Have you put faith in Him? Have you accepted this redemption? And if you don't accept it, then people go to hell, not for the individual sins that they've committed, but because of this worst sin of all, which is the sin of rejecting or ignoring the atonement of the Lord Jesus and trusting in their own goodness. That sin of self-righteousness is infinitely worse than homosexuality, adultery, anything that you could commit. God is dealing with people based on whether or not they've accepted Jesus or not. And the Scripture says this over in John chapter 16. Jesus was the one speaking, and He said that when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then He goes on in the next verse and to say the sin that they're going to be reproved of is the sin of not believing on Me. Jesus was speaking. The sin that the Holy Spirit is now convicting everybody of is whether or not you've believed on Jesus, not your individual actions. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit will never show you that you've committed adultery, but He will. It's not the adultery that's the problem. It's the adultery is a proof that you haven't yet really trusted in Jesus in this area, or you wouldn't be out living this way. The sin that the Holy Spirit convicts of is the sin of not trusting in Jesus. And so these verses right here are all conditional because this is Old Testament law. It says, "It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently." Well, this word if, two letters, is a huge word that makes all of these blessings conditional on you obeying. And I've actually heard people take these scriptures before and say, and they'll talk about the blessings, how you're blessed going out, blessed coming in, blessed in your basket, blessed in your store, above only and not beneath. You'll lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. Your enemies will come out against you one way, but they'll have to flee seven ways. And they'll list all of these things and say, is this what you want? And then they'll come back and say, if you aren't getting it, it's because you aren't hearkening diligently enough. If you've been going to church once a week, you need to start going to church twice a week. If you've been studying the Word 20 minutes a day, you need to go to 40 minutes a day. If you've prayed 30 minutes a day, you need to go to an hour a day. You need to start helping somebody. You need to attend church more. And they'll start just listing, you got to be more diligent. Do more, more, more. And yet, even as they say that, they'll be the first one to admit that you can't do it perfectly, but you gotta try harder. Again, look at this verse. It says, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments. Here's another little word that has big implications to it. All means all. It doesn't mean do 9 out of 10, 999 out of 1,000. You gotta keep them all. It says you have to diligently observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee. And if you don't do them all, it's as if you did none of them. Some people think that God grades on a curve. That, you know, nobody's going to make 100, but God's got to pass somebody. So what he does is he gives everybody a relative score based compared to other people. You might have only made a 50 on the test, but if you were in the top 10%, then he rounds your score out or gives you grades on a curve and gives you a 90 when you actually only made 50 because you were in the 90%. You were in the top 90%. Nope, that's not the way it works. If you miss one answer on God's test, it's as if you failed it all. James chapter 2, verse 10. If you keep the whole law and yet miss it in just one point, you become guilty of everything. You have to hearken diligently to observe to do all of these commandments. Let's take this in context. Remember that man is the one that put the chapter and verse divisions in there for reference. And if you back up into the 27th chapter, it listed all of the curses and it had the people stand there and say, cursed if you don't do this. Cursed are you if you did this. And then in the last verse of the 27th chapter, verse 26, all of the people said, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and the people shall say, amen. This was referred to over in Galatians chapter 3. We used those verses this week, and it says, you know, that if you don't keep all of the commandments, then you come under the curse instead of the blessing. So these verses are saying you have to do everything perfect. Those of you who believe that you still have to live under the Old Testament law, listen to what the law says. This is the law. The law specifically referred primarily to the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is one of those five books, the Pentateuch. And it is saying that you have to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do all of the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to do all of these things. The problem is nobody has ever kept the law except one person. And that was Jesus. And Jesus kept the law perfectly. And then it says over in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, that, in verse 3, it says that sin was judged and condemned in the flesh of Jesus. God put judgment and punishment for sin upon his own son, Jesus. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 4, it says that, here's the results of Jesus bearing my sin, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. And through Jesus, I am righteous. Through Jesus, it's as if I kept every one of these commands. So, you know, I've said a lot of things about the Old Testament law and how that it couldn't make us righteous and how all of these things and how we're redeemed from this. Some people think that therefore I don't even believe that you ought to read the Old Testament. It doesn't even apply to us. Well, it doesn't apply to us in the sense that I relate to God based on the Old Testament law. I've got a different covenant, a better covenant that is far superior to this Old Testament law. But it's wonderful to know what the blessings of keeping the Old Testament law were And even though I can't claim these blessings based on my own performance, I can claim these blessings based on what Jesus did for me. And it's also good to know what the curse or the negative effects of not keeping the law were, because now I can look at all of these curses and the terrible things that were written, and through Jesus, Galatians 3:13 says, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. So if I can find it over here in verses 15 through 68 on the curse side, then I can say, praise God, that means I don't have to have this anymore because Jesus redeemed me from this curse. So here's the way I read these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. That it is coming to pass, since Jesus hearkened diligently unto the voice of the Lord his God, and he observed and did according to all of the commandments that were commanded him. Therefore, all of these blessings are coming upon me because of what Jesus did. And verses 15 through 68, the curses that would have come upon me because I failed to do everything right, those curses came upon Jesus, and now I am redeemed from all of these curses. So I turn over and read in Deuteronomy chapter 28 about that one of the curse is poverty, that I'd have to, you know, borrow and I'd never have enough. Well, now I'm redeemed from that curse. And so even though I haven't done everything perfectly, even though on my own I don't deserve the goodness of God, through Jesus I can stand there and say, that's a curse to be poor, and I am not going to struggle under poverty. Jesus died so that I, through His poverty, might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And so I sit there and resist that poverty and receive my redemption from poverty. I also read in here that, you know, there's even small things like the botch, the mildew, emrods, and the itch. You know, my wife and I, we actually lived in a house one time that was insulated so poorly that we would run the heat on the inside, and yet that cold would come and just basically come through the walls. And in the closet, there was mildew from all of this moisture and stuff. And we took these scriptures right here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it talks about that one of the curses is that mildew would come upon us. It says that mildew was a part of that curse. And so what we did was read that this was one of the punishment, one of the curses that comes because we don't do everything right. But through Jesus, we've now received His righteousness, the righteousness that is fulfilled in the law, Romans chapter 8, verse 4. And then we read Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we read these scriptures to that mildew. I know some of you think this is weird, but Jesus talked to a fig tree. And you know what? That fig tree obeyed Him. This is what the scripture says to do. So we believe this, and we spoke and said, mildew, you're a curse. We commanded it to get off of our walls. And did you know, within just a matter of days, that mildew was totally gone. Some of you say, I don't believe that. Well, then don't try it because it won't work for you. Amen. If you don't believe it, it won't work. I'm telling you, you can go through here. It also says over here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's start reading verse 60. It says, moreover, He will bring upon thee all of the diseases of Egypt which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now some people say, well, see, this right here talks about God's wrath. Yeah, but this is the Old Testament law. And under the New Testament, we have had God's wrath and judgment against us placed on Jesus. And Jesus redeemed us from this curse. So I admit that under the Old Testament law, God's wrath was released in a number of ways. One of them was He struck people with sickness and disease. But under the New Covenant, we are told that God is not the one who tempts us with evil, that He has placed all of our sin and punishment upon Jesus. And so in the New Covenant, I can say that Christ redeemed me from this. If I can find that it says every sickness, every plague that is not written in this book of the law, them will the Lord bring upon you, then that means that every sickness and every plague is a judgment, a curse. It's not a blessing. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. So therefore, I am not going to have these things. This is my scriptural authority to say that every sickness, it doesn't matter if it's AIDS, it doesn't matter if it is some genetic thing that's passed on through the family line, it doesn't matter if there's a plague or the flu season or allergy season or whatever else is happening to anybody else, I am redeemed from all of these curses, therefore these things aren't coming upon me. See, I'm using the Old Testament law right here. I haven't forsaken the Old Testament scriptures. I'm just interpreting them in the light of a better covenant. I now have fulfilled Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, not through my own goodness, but because I put faith in a Savior. All of Jesus' righteousness has been imputed unto me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For He, God the Father, made Him, Jesus, to be made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus took my sin and became what I was so that I could become what He was. He took my sin and was punished for it, and He gave me His righteousness. And now when God looks at me, God sees me through the atonement of Jesus, and God sees me as righteous, as holy, and as pure as Jesus is. And some people think, well, then He's just playing games because you certainly aren't that righteous. Well, that's because you're looking on the outside and you see my failings. You hear me stumble over words. You know, I'm not the most eloquent person that God could have gotten. If I'd have been God choosing people to represent me, I don't think I would have chosen myself. See, you look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The Bible says in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And because I made Jesus my Savior, the moment I got born again, God changed me in my spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new." So God is a spirit, and He sees me in the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, I have been completely changed. I am righteous and holy and as pure as Jesus is, and so are you if you've made Jesus your Savior. Now see, this is offensive to people who look on the outside, which this is what the law does. The law is all about the external. It's all about your actions. It doesn't go to the heart of the matter, why you do what you do. All it is just to judge. You do this and boom, here's wrath. You know, there's examples of a man who one time they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they had it on a cart, which the Lord told them to carry it between poles so that this wouldn't happen. But they disobeyed God's instructions. They put the Ark on a cart and the oxen stumbled and the Ark started to tip over. Nobody but the high priest could even come near the Ark. But a man just reached up to steady the Ark, and when he did, God struck him dead. You know what? His motives were good. He was trying to keep the ark from falling over. He might have meant good, but the Old Testament law didn't care about what the motive is. You do wrong, boom, judge. No mercy, no understanding. That's law. But see, under the new covenant, it's not so much about what you do, but it's about why you do it. And that's the reason Jesus said, even if you've lusted in your heart, you haven't committed the action, but what's the attitude of your heart? The new covenant comes down to the heart level. The Old Testament law just dealt with actions and punishment, but the New Testament cleanses you from the inside out. I've got a lot more to share on this, but I'm going to have to do that on my program tomorrow. I'm running out of time today, but we do have this album entitled Redemption. It's a 5-part album, and today we're dealing with the fifth and final part of this album. It's entitled A Better Redemption. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information about how to get these materials, and I encourage you to call or write, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Redemption was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056C for the CD or T3201D for the DVD. Or you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1056D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth teaching in the Redemption series, titled A Better Redemption, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this fifth CD free of charge when you write or call. Request item TK140C. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you have received the truths that I've been sharing on our program today. I'd really like to encourage you to call and get these materials. We have people standing by at our phone center so that we can make this as convenient for you as we possibly can. And I'd encourage you to call. And also, when you get the materials, we have some wonderful people answering these phones that are mature, powerful Christians. We're seeing great miracles, having physical miracles, people being healed in their emotions. And many of you have been touched today, and if you would call and get the materials and ask for prayer, I think that God could really touch your life, and this could be a red letter day for you. So we've got that number on the screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 15th through the 17th and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs June 28th through July 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago.
I started getting this bad stomach pain that happened every time I ate something.
She said that the cheekbones were flattened. The nose bone was not visible at all. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, the was missing from the pinky.
I decided that I was going to run from God and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
His ribs were busted. His sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
Don't miss God Wants You Well, coming next week on Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.